Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
And welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. I am still here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm joined on the live stream as well on Facebook and our YouTube page with Jason Caldwell and Philip Marshall, as it was Selection Sunday for both the Auburn men's and women's teams. They're both going back to the NCAA tournament. Of course, we have known about the men's team for most of the season, but obviously the women's team made a great push under Johnny Harris this year, and they are going back dancing for the first time in a while. But it was also Championship Sunday for Auburn men's basketball here in Nashville. They took on Florida in a game where they were obviously looking to get revenge from their pretty much the only loss all season. It was their only loss all season where they were beaten pretty soundly. They lost by 16 down in Gainesville. And this was a game where you felt like Florida had a decent matchup. Florida had the size to hang with Auburn. Florida had the guard play, then the length at guard that has bothered Auburn at times this season. But what we got instead, Jason, was one of the most impressive performances of the season for the Tigers, one that featured a big second half surge. And at the end of the day, Auburn walks away from here in Nashville, 86-67. They win their second SEC tournament championship under Bruce Pearl, their fourth overall SEC title under Pearl. And they made a heck of a run here in Nashville, took advantage of what they had in front of them, and they're going to be hanging another banner at the start of next season.
Yeah, pretty remarkable to see what's happened under Bruce Pearl, first of all, to see it. And Nathan, you were there. We saw it on TV, but the people and the crowd that showed up at Bridgestone Arena was just incredible to see what Auburn basketball has become. And I think this season we've seen Auburn basketball become something even different. Because for a long time, we were just talking about it off the air. For a long time, people thought Auburn basketball was only, well, if they can create turnovers on defense and knock down a bunch of threes, then they're going to be really tough to beat. That's not what this team is. Now, if they do that, they're almost impossible to beat. But this team can get you in the half-court game on both ends and squeeze you to death. And they did that today. Their half-court the offensive efficiency for this team has been just nothing short of remarkable. To watch them develop and do the things they've done. And it's coming from everywhere. Jani Broome's been the guy. He was the guy again today. But we saw everybody contributing, doing something. Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chris Moore off the bench. Denver Jones continues to be a guy that gives them what they need. But you look at Trey Dawson. Trey Dawson may have had the biggest two plays in the entire game today. Knocking down a three, getting a steal, getting to Denver Jones. They're getting contributions up and down this lineup. And we talked about depth. You know, this is what Bruce Pearl believes in. We saw it last year for Florida Atlantic. We saw it for these other teams that made runs, UConn, without a bunch of real NBA players that made runs to the Final Four because they got contributions up and down. They didn't get tired. They were able to overcome injuries, those kind of things. We've seen that from this Auburn team. And, hey, we'll see what happens moving forward. But for this week and for Sunday, that's pretty darn impressive. And we've seen them do some really good things in the SEC tournament. Today, it was just smothering. They just smothered a really good Florida team from really beginning to end, other than a couple of few minutes.
Yeah, and defensively, they were extremely impressive. I kind of thought that's where the game started for them. I think Florida started 2 of 17 from the floor. This was a Florida team that yesterday against Texas A&M shot a season high in three-point percentage. They come and they only make one three-pointer in this game. Auburn did a great job of running them off the three-point line. You know, Phillip, Bruce Pearl said after the game that, you know, he said we've had a few of these now in terms of championships, but he said this one might be the most special. He talked about the way this team has grown and developed, both on and off the floor. You wrote about it after the game. If Auburn wasn't already a great team, they have certainly reached that now. That designation, and you're seeing it after the NCAA tournament bracket was revealed. Auburn is a team that a lot of people like to, you know, have the potential to be a national championship.
There's no question. And I mean, people talk about depth and you say there's no drop off. I guess there's always some kind of drop off. But you look at the Mississippi State game, which was close for a long time, and it was played by Trey and Dylan that turned the game around, the backup center and the backup point guard. And then again today, same thing. Trey makes the plays that turn the game back around. And you know, it's amazing to me. I don't know any way to look it up, but I would bet that Janiah Broome, as the tournament MVP, played fewer minutes than any previous tournament MVP played. I mean, he played 24 minutes today.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They just keep he stays with it, and the players have bought into it. Now, it's easy to get players to buy into things when you're winning all the time. But it's been amazing in my mind. And this is what, their 26th double-digit victory, is that right?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, they got 27 wins, 26 of them, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. And
something else, Phillip, you just mentioned something, and something that I heard today from Dylan Carwell. I mentioned it to Nathan, but in a postgame, he was talking about growth. And it was to that point, because you're talking about Janiah Broome only playing 24 minutes. Dylan Carwell said, look, last year I had a real problem. Because I think he thought, hey, I'm going to step in and be the starter after Walker, and he wasn't. So Janiah Broome comes in. He said, I didn't handle it very well. Their bond and Dylan's willingness to say, hey, I'll be the second guy, it's been huge for this team. And I think it's shown those other guys, hey, you can do this and win. I think it's the unsung story of this whole team, a guy that put the team first and said, you know what, I'll be the second guy. I'm fine with it now. But he grew up. It's a huge part of why this team has been successful.
You look back, I don't remember which game it was when Baker Mazzara told Bruce, don't put me back in for my rotation. Leor's playing great. Leave him out there. And I just think a lot of things came together, the right kind of people that are willing to do that, because not everybody is going to be happy about that, regardless of how much you win. And the right kind of people that are willing to say, I'll give up some of the glory and to win. And they've done it. And I, you know, I've been watching Auburn basketball for a long time, and I don't recall a more impressive weekend than this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's different, right? It's different than, and there are a lot of parallels that can be made to the run that they made here in Nashville in 2019. In fact, they won the championship 5 years ago to the day. We brought that up to Jalen Harper after the game because somebody found the picture. He was the first one to go cut up the nets. And he went up on the same exact basket that his brother went up on 5 years to the day.
That's cool. But you know, even the 2019 team barely survived against Florida in the tournament. I remember Jalen Harper making about a 40-foot three-pointer. And this team, I mean, Mississippi State gave them a battle, but Auburn really controlled the second half. And the other two games, they just, well, I don't know what it is about South Carolina. Gamecocks cannot play against them. That's obvious. But it's just, it's been fun to watch from afar. And honestly, I won't be surprised by anything they do. I don't feel any worse about their chances right now. I probably feel better about their chances right now than I did in 2019 going into the NCAA tournament, when I knew they were going to have to play Kansas. To beat them, they were going to have to play North Carolina. And if they beat them, they're going to have to play Kentucky again, who had beaten them like about 1,000 the last time they played. So I'm not saying that has any impact on what happens this year, but I wouldn't write them off. As great as UConn obviously is, and their coach has been talking for 2 days about how they're the best team in the country, I don't know what you gain by doing that. But we'll see what happens. Not in the Sweet 16, I will say that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I think now, and we can now get into the bracket talk. And that's what's so funny about this Sunday is like, and it was the same in 2019. It kind of goes back to the fact that, and we'll talk about it a little later, how much these games really matter in the mind of the committee. You know, we went into the day, and all of us are going to the arena talking about, like, for neither of these teams, for their March Madness hopes, does this really matter? Does it matter for momentum? Maybe, but good teams don't really need that. They can kind of just reset. What mattered was hanging a banner. And before we get into the tournament talk, I think one point that is really important to kind of note here is that, you know, everyone has a tough path to get to the Final Four. Auburn has that one. Like Phillips just said, they've had it before. But having, and Bruce said it when we were talking to him after the selection show, he's like, yeah, you know, it's great. You know, it's all about camaraderie and it's all about, you know, just enjoying the season with your team. But he said, sometimes having a ring, it ain't too bad. Sometimes hanging a banner is kind of nice to sometimes want those physical things. And I just think, you know, before it's all March Madness from here on out, the fact, Jason, that this Auburn team, you'll be able to look back and say, Jani Broome won a title at Auburn. He's probably gonna be a second team All-American. He won a championship at Auburn. Jalen Williams, KD Johnson, Chris Moore, Dylan Cardwell, they're going to exit Auburn with two championship rings. Jalen Williams goes out winning his player ever. He goes out with a championship. He had zero SEC tournament wins before this weekend, and now he has an SEC title. So I think it is important. Today was important for the legacy of this year's team, because I do think this has the potential to be Bruce Pearl's best team. Now, what does that mean for the tournament? Who knows? They could lose in the first game. It happens all the time. But for the legacy of this team, looking back years in advance when Bruce is retired and all that, the fact that they get a banner to hang up and they get a trophy and they get a ring for this season, I think is really special, because this did end up being a very special team.
I think the thing you think about, it's still a program that those things are really important to.
Right.
For Kentucky to go, hey, we want another SEC tournament. Okay, that's great. Right. For Auburn, it's still an important thing. It's still something you go, heck yeah, because there ain't been a lot of those. And it's still something you can go, man, that, yes, bring that team back, celebrate them, do those things. Those are things that you, and I hope people never lose sight of that. Kentucky fans have in basketball, Alabama fans have in football, other. But it's always something that should be celebrated. And especially for Auburn basketball, this should never get old. Because if it does, then it's for people who did not live in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and 2000s, when there wasn't many of those opportunities. Even those teams that Sonny Smith had that made runs in the NCAA tournament, those are teams that had to make a run to get into the NCAA tournament before they actually did some damage. Most of those teams did. You haven't had many of these situations. And now you're getting a run of those, and it's starting to kind of get, yes, Absolutely. Any chance you get to do this in Auburn in basketball, you better take advantage of it and celebrate it.
That's pretty much what I was going to say, Jason, is that, it can be old hat to Kentucky. Kentucky can say, Calipari can say, well, this is not what really matters. The NCAA tournament is what really matters. And be telling the truth. But that's not the case with most people in the SEC. Winning the SEC tournament is a big deal. And it's hard to do. And one thing I'm going to point out, all the talk about Auburn hasn't won an SEC tournament game since 2019, which is true. But in 2020, when they were really good, they didn't get to play. In 2021, they couldn't play. So they really only had lost two SEC tournament games that time coming into this weekend. But it's a huge deal. Hanging those banners, getting that ring. I mean, if you're an Auburn player, or if you're Jalen Williams, all you, the sweat and blood you put into this program, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's what Dylan Cardwell told me in the locker room afterwards. I asked him, I was like, "Hey, man, getting two rings on your hand now, two SEC championship rings," and he said, "Man, he remembers Jabari Smith telling him, them talking about it after that regular season championship team. And he said, he remembered Jabari Smith saying, it was all worth it. And that's, very much back to your point, Philip. He said, this team's had a lot of good times, but it's a grind during the season, and it's extremely difficult. It's going to be difficult throughout March. And so it goes back to Bruce Pearl's point that it's okay to want things sometimes. It's okay to, get a nice physical representation of what happened during your season, because 99% of teams in college basketball, even if you do have a great season, most of the time, there's only a few championships to hand out, whether it's March, whether it's regular season, there's only a few championships to hand out.
I think a lot of fans don't understand just how hard it is. Just how hard it is to play any college sport. The grind and playing basketball, you're playing twice a week. It's hard.
It is, yeah. Extremely hard.
Welcome back. Hard.
Yeah. It's extremely hard when you think. And here's the thing. We just saw them play three games in 3 days, and the travel involved. Come back after an SEC regular season. You're dealing with, you got a stomach bug 1 week, and you maybe play through it. It's everything that you have to deal with throughout an entire season that now starts in June. I mean, they're playing basketball, they're doing those things a couple of days a week, then you get rolling in October and get going. I mean, it's a long season. That's why the depth for this team is going to be really valuable. We saw it in the SEC tournament, getting the NCAA tournament. The one thing about it, you get more time. I'm sorry to say more timeouts, longer timeouts, and it takes even longer to play some of these games. But I still think this is a team that is, you're right, it's still college basketball. We know there's going to be a bunch of upsets. We saw them this past week in conference tournaments. There's going to be a bunch of them in the NCAA tournament. Auburn may be one of them. But I like the team, and I like the way they're trending heading into this, and now we'll see what happens.
All right, so let's get into now, if we're about 17 minutes in. If you have not seen the bracket, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you know where Auburn is playing. But Auburn ended up earning a 4 seed in the tournament. Did not come as a very big surprise. There was a little bit of talk about maybe if they could make a push in Nashville, make a run, maybe they could come up to that 3 line. I know Joe Lenardi had him on that 3 line, but it felt like a little bit of a long shot. And they went from the quadrant discussion is one thing, but they went from one quad one win to three after the SEC tournament, and so they earn a 4 seed. They will play Yale, who won the Ivy League on a buzzer beater to get into the NCAA tournament, and They will play them all the way out in Spokane, Washington. It's a site that was projected for the better part of the last month. It was the place where Auburn was favored to go, you know, according to a lot of bracketologists. And Bruce Pearl said, you know, the reason for that today, he was talking about after the selection show, it just made sense based on where some teams had to play, how many good teams were in the South. But he said it just made sense based on where the fours needed to be. He said they needed a couple four seeds to go there based on how the bracket shook out. And that's exactly what happened, because Alabama also gets a four seed. And for the second straight year, Alabama will also be not in Auburn's bracket, but they are in the same sub-region. So Auburn will play Yale, the 13 seed. On the other side there, potentially awaiting them in a round of 32, is the five seed San Diego State and UAB, which ended up winning its conference tournament. And so you get three teams from the state of Alabama out there, and you get that, you know, that would be, we'll see what UAB is able to do in a 5-12 matchup, but wouldn't that be awesome? If people were talking about Samford maybe going against Auburn, it'd be really cool if they're able to play UAB in the second round. But you guys, it is the East region, which Auburn ends up in, so they'll play the second weekend in Boston, is a brutal, brutal region, Jason. We were talking about it before we got rolling. It starts with number one overall seed UConn, who is one of the most impressive teams in the regular season of the past several basketball seasons. And they would be playing the second weekend in Boston. So a tremendous, tremendous challenge for whoever is going to come out of that region. But at the same time, you know, if you're Auburn, you're, you know, any of these other teams, you're saying, oh man, UConn and Boston, like that would be crazy. If you're UConn, you're looking and saying, oh my gosh, we have Auburn, Iowa State, and Illinois in our region. So there's two.
Here's what else you got. If you're UConn, in the second round, you may have Florida Atlantic as an 8 seed who went to the Final Four, like the same Final Four you were in.
And nobody thought Florida Atlantic would be that high. They said that when they got picked. They said that is a high seed for them.
Yeah, like their 8 seed. So you're talking about Florida Atlantic, last year's Final Four team, got pretty much everybody back. Yeah, UConn is a team that's going, man, thanks a lot for us to be the overall number one seed. That's a gauntlet. I'm telling you. You're talking about Auburn and Yale in that game. San Diego State, UAB. I've watched San Diego State play probably half a dozen times. They've got some games where they've struggled some, but I tell you what they got. They got a monster inside that's as physical as anybody in the country. 6'9", 240, 266 guards, a really good point guard. They play in-your-face defense. I mean, like, those are teams. Hey, we've seen it. We've seen Auburn play San Diego State. And you go, well, that's not a whole lot of fun. And so you look on the bottom side of it, and you look at Illinois as a 3 who just won the Big Ten. Iowa State as a 2 who just I'm talking about drubbed Houston.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Beat them, you know, like a renting mule, as they used to say. But then, I mean, you got BYU as a 6 who was one of the top 18 seeds in this, but because they don't play on Sunday, they had to figure out a way to fit them in. Well, they fit in UConn. They fit in this. So 6 of the top 18 overall seeds in this NCAA tournament are in the East region, where Auburn and the number one overall seed belong. So it's a really, really challenging bracket when you talk about it. I mean, like, even some of the teams that you think about, Washington State is a 7 seed, is a really good team. Illinois at Morehead State at 26-8 is really good. UConn, I saw them a little bit today. And, you know, people don't need to gloss over the fact that Auburn's playing Yale. This is a team that won't make a lot of mistakes. Be really, obviously, Ivy League team going to be really disciplined. And you know, they're going to come in, and you're going to have to go earn it. And so it is what it is now. You go and go. I think the good thing for Auburn is that this is not the turnaround they had in 2019, where you had to turn around and play on a Thursday. You get that extra day Friday. I think that's really, really beneficial for Auburn starting this NCAA tournament.
Oh, what happened to Auburn in 2019 was grossly unfair, really, because not only did they have to travel to Salt Lake City, was it, right, where they played? Not only did they have to travel after playing 4 games in the SEC tournament, they had to travel for an 11 a.m. Thursday game. And probably should have lost, really. Actually, no, probably to it. The guy makes free throws, they do lose.
That game is the first time in my life I've ever seen anyone airball a corner three. And Anfernee McIlmore just raised both his hands and said, thank God. Yeah, they should have lost that game.
There was no sign in that game that Auburn was about to go on a historic run. And so the whole key in this thing is winning in advance. If you beat Yale by one, that's good enough. Go play the next one.
Yeah, and we'll get into – and Jason has a great story, auburnundercover.com, of not only Yale, but Auburn's potential second-round opponents, like we just mentioned, San Diego State. That is a team that, like Jason said, I mean, they have a legitimate, really, really good player who could play anywhere in the country and beat up on anybody in the country. We know that's a well-coached team. We just saw them make that run last year. And I noticed Chad Baker Mazzara jump up in the front row when we were watching the selection show. That's his former team. We've talked to him a little bit about it, just kind of off the record, just kind of hanging out the past couple of days about, you know, maybe seeing them in the tournament. And that's not a program that had, it's not a program that he wanted to leave. It, you know, it's for academic reasons. And he said he was the Mountain West Sixth Man of the Year when he was there. And he said that was they made their conference title game. When he was there, they did not win it. And so he said, I was really looking forward to getting back to it and finally getting a ring. So, you know, lots of, and then you have Bruce, you know, potentially, if Auburn makes it that far, Bruce Pearl going to Boston, you know, and that's something he obviously did not want to talk about today because that is assuming two wins.
Correct.
And that's not something he would want to do. But, you know, it's going to be tough for anybody. It's going to be a tough draw for anybody. You know, we got a comment here talking about four conference championship winners in the same region. Yeah, I mean, it is though, if you're Auburn, and there's another comment saying, I'd rather play UConn early while we're hot and fresh. It's talking about maybe opposed to like later on. Not a bad point either, yeah. Because Auburn is rolling right now. And if they can keep rolling these next couple games, again, it goes back to as tough as playing UConn in Boston would be. Like, I mean, that would be a really, really huge upset. UConn is looking at the opponents that are in their region and saying, wow, Auburn is playing really good right now, and we'd have to face them again, not in the Elite Eight, not in the Final Four, in the Sweet 16, potentially.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the sun.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, and you know, I think for Auburn, the neat thing is that you've got a guy on your staff who has been in a similar situation like this before. That 2003 Auburn basketball team wasn't nearly as good as this one is, but they had to go play Syracuse and Albany and push them to the limit. That's Syracuse even won the national championship. So I think you've got something there where you start going, you got Marquise Daniels go, look, the guy's already been this before. Y'all are better than we were. We handled it just fine. We're good. This team's got a bunch of veterans. I think the most important game for them is going to be the first one against Yale, just to kind of get it going, get back out there. Because when you're Auburn and you played the way they played, the last thing you want to do is take 5-6 days off, even though it's good for you, for your rest, all those things. Get back out there and try to it's going to happen. We saw it a little bit with Mississippi State. I've been saying it for the last 2 weeks. Can you survive a bad game? Mississippi State wasn't a bad game. They shot 50%.
Bad half.
But it was an ugly game. They made it really ugly. You're going to have one of those where you shoot 38%. Can you play enough defense and can you rebound? Can you do – that's what Auburn did against, you know, that first one against New Mexico State. They did that in 2019. Can you survive that game when it comes? We saw Houston have it against Iowa State. Couldn't survive it. Can you survive one of those? That's how you make it to a Final Four. And we'll see if this Auburn team can do it, because you're going to have one sooner or later if you play enough.
The thing is, no matter if you're a relatively high seed, a top four or five seed, you're going to play somebody in the first round that you should beat. Doesn't mean you will, but you should. After that, there ain't nothing left for good teams. And if you don't play well, you're going to have a chance to get beat.
Yeah, we can talk just for a second about the draw for Auburn going to Spokane, because that is something, as we were talking about a little bit before we got rolling, and Bruce Pearl wondered aloud today. And I don't know if it's a bad argument by him or something, you know, that's nonsensical to wonder. He said, are we getting payback for playing in Birmingham last year, where regardless of how it happened, Auburn did have a home game in the round of 32 against Houston. Was Houston the number one overall seed? Or were they?
They were, I think, either the first or second, but Auburn was a 9 seed and got to play in Birmingham. Yes.
The thing is, wherever the 1 seed goes, they take the 8 and 9 seed with them. That's the thing. And Birmingham was the closest place for Houston, I believe. So
it was. But I don't think they.
But here's the thing to me. This year, last year, don't put them in the same region. Put them in another region or whatever. Or
pod or whatever they are. Yes, the same. They put Auburn, Alabama in the same pod. And it's pretty wild to think about Auburn, Alabama, UAB, Charleston, Yale, all those teams going absolutely as far away as they can possibly go to play a basketball game.
And still be in the continental United States. There's no question about it.
Yep.
I mean, it's just insane. And seriously, I think if there's not enough teams in the West, which is apparently the case, then don't give a regional to Spokane. Give it to somebody else. You know, if you had to go to it's Salt Lake City, it's a long trip too, but it's not as long as Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, I guess the pre-decided element of things, I guess, creates, because you just never know how the season going to play out. You know, if you load up one side of the country or the other, you just never know. What I don't fully have a grasp on, and maybe you guys do a little bit better, is I sort of understood that there reached a point where it was like, okay, if Auburn's not going to be a top 3 seed, maybe even not a top 2 seed, they're not going to get Memphis or Charlotte because there's too many good teams above them that are from around this area that are going to get sent there. You know, your Tennessees, your Dukes, you know, there's several, North Carolina was a 1 seed, several other teams that make more sense that are better and are going to get sent there because that's how that works. You know, where is the cutoff point? That's something I honestly don't know. So, you know, Auburn's a 4 seed. Are they trying to cater to them in terms of their pod or sub region? You know, they're kind of interchangeable. Are they catering to a 4 seed at all? It doesn't appear that way. I haven't looked at the entire bracket. The 3 seeds, maybe they do. They kind of try to help them out a little bit. But I just wonder if it didn't get to the point with Auburn where, like Bruce said, Spokane ended up being a place where 4 seeds were needed and there aren't that many teams out on the West. And they said, Auburn fits both of those. And they are not in this top group of teams that commands our attention of we need to get them where fans are because they were this good. They're on our 4 line. We don't really care. We send them I don't care if it's Spokane 2,400 miles away. We need a team out there. I feel like maybe they're on that cutoff point.
Well, you got 4 seeds in Spokane.
Yeah, well, they absolutely.
Spokane this week. It's coming up week.
Yeah, in my mind, they absolutely catered to the Duke. They're a 4 seed and they're playing in Brooklyn. And so Duke got a 4 seed in Brooklyn. Other than that, I mean, both in Alabama and them are out there. Auburn and Alabama both are out there. So that's not one. And then Kansas plays in Salt Lake City. So that's where your four seeds would have been sent, was Brooklyn, Salt Lake City, and obviously two in Spokane, Washington. So that's your choices. Kansas was behind. I take that back. Auburn and Alabama were the 15th and 16th seeds, according to them, which meant what I don't understand is Auburn being the 15. If they're a seed ahead of, you're telling me that the Auburn draw is easier than Alabama's, or if that factors in at all. I just think they just threw them out there and said, hey, whatever. There's no question that you would rather be in the West than the East if you're playing in this situation right now. It's my whole argument. They've totally messed this whole thing up. That's another show for another day, because I could go on a long time. But there used to be a hey, if you're in the East, you're playing East Rutherford, or you're playing in Winston-Salem. You're in the West, right? You're playing in the Pit, you're playing in Salt Lake City. In the Midwest, you're playing in Kemper Arena, you're playing in Kansas City. Where you knew where you were, where you're playing, and everybody played in the same places, and y'all, it makes no sense now. It doesn't make any sense. You're right, Nathan. There's no rhyme or reason for sending people where they're sent. Because here's my thing. You're telling me, if you're North Carolina, I say, hey, how about giving us a two, let Arizona be the one, and let us stay and play in Charlotte? That's a much better situation. If you're North Carolina, you'd swap in a heartbeat to be the two seed and play in Charlotte versus being the one seed and having to go play out in LA or wherever. I'm sure that's where they're probably playing to begin with anyway.
I think it is LA, yeah. Because someone had to go out there, because you got Houston and Dallas, and then you have Purdue and Detroit. So somebody was going to get the LA draw, and it turned out.
Yeah, and then North Carolina, they do get to play in Charlotte to begin with. That's the crazy thing is they're in the West, but they get to play in Charlotte to begin with. So it doesn't make any sense.
No, I gave up and figured
like
out.
I said, it's another argument for another day.
Yeah, the sub regions have, just at this point of how they're doing the bracket, the sub regions have nothing to do with, and that's the confusing part, I think, for some people. Like, oh, Alabama and Auburn are both in Spokane, and it's like, well, it's unless they're all the way in the Final Four, like, they're not going to be able to play each other
for the
national championship. I don't know which side they come from, but yeah, so it's the sub regions and the pods have nothing to do with the second weekend regions. That's the only time when you start putting people together. Yeah, I mean, we have a comment here talking about the net ratings of UConn, Illinois, and Iowa State. Yeah, I mean, Jason mentioned on the NCAA's official seeding that they put out, but the four conference championship winners in the East region, UConn, Auburn, Iowa State, Illinois, are four of the top 10 teams in KenPom. Like, these are four elite, elite basketball teams this entire season. They've had a great body work the whole season, and only one of them is going to come out and be able to go to the Final Four. So, should be interesting. I mean, it should be I'm really looking forward to seeing what Spokane, Washington has to offer. I have no preconceived idea. I have no idea what it will look like when I get off of the plane. I have no preconceived idea of what the state of Washington looks like. So that'll be interesting. Lots of trees, I believe. But
I've been to Seattle, but I've never been to Spokane. That's a long way, though.
Yep. I'll give you a long range weather forecast. How about that?
Cold. we're looking today. It might snow on Sunday.
52, 37 Friday. Yes, and 45, 31 Saturday. 44, 31 on Sunday. A little chance of
precipitation.
At least they're playing indoors. You're good.
Yeah, let's be glad they're not doing one of those stadium series. Yeah, maybe I'll have to get some Gonzaga merch while I'm there. I might not avoid that.
And I went to a regional and to the Final Four in Minneapolis. That's a different kind of cold there now.
Yeah. Yeah. At least Christian can give you some pointers. Christian can give you some pointers. Our own Christian Clemente can give you some pointers about going to the Northwest.
Christian's boys are in the Montana State boys are in the first four, right?
I'm trying to remember if they're first four or not. Let's see.
I think they were.
I think they get. Yeah, I think they're in the play, and then they get Purdue if they win. Which take down the mighty. The fighting Christian Clementes will take down the mighty Boilermakers. But
What's his name? The big guy in the shins. See if that helps.
That's all you can do. Bring a crowbar. That's all you can do. But we'll have all kinds of coverage here for the rest of the week at Auburn Undercover. Looking forward to that matchup against Yale. And then we'll see what happens once we get out there in Spokane and see what happens with that second game. But we'll get into it now, this part of the show. The women's team also is going back to the NCAA tournament. They will play. They get a play-in spot, as an 11 seed. Correct me if I am wrong.
Correct. That's right.
They will face Arizona. It's Jason or Phillip, whichever one of y'all want to go first.
Jason was over there today. I'll let him.
Yeah. You could tell that was a disappointed group, and they should be. They thought they deserved to be actually in the field, and with one win they will be, but it's still not the same feeling to know that you got to go play a game to get into the tournament. But Auburn 11 seed, they'll play Arizona, the other 11 seed. It's an Arizona team that on the surface has, you look at them and go, man, they started 7-0. They're only 17-15, which means they're 10-15 in their last 25 games. But they also won at number 3 Stanford just a couple weeks ago. And they played a top 10 USC team pretty close in back-to-back times out here the last couple of weeks. So Pac-12 has been pretty good women's basketball. Arizona made the Final Four a few years back. So it'll be a challenge for this team. And, yeah, hey, do that, you get Syracuse. And you do that, you get UConn on its home court. That's the life of playing in women's college basketball. If you're not one of those seeds, you're going to have to play. That's where a top 4 seed really matters, because you get to host. And so Auburn, UConn is a 3 seed. Not nearly as good as they've been in the past, but they're still pretty darn good. I think you look at this Auburn team, and as Johnny Harris said today, just do what you can do, which is win the first game, then worry about the next one. Auburn has a team very, very, very capable of winning.
That's all you can do.
Yep,
just win the first game.
That's it. They're very capable of doing that and winning. And so I think when you look at this team that we're talking about, brackets, all those things, the crazy one is seeing what happens on the women's side. I mean, SEC got 8 teams in. Well, they put 3 of them in the same region, first of all, which doesn't make any sense at all. Texas A&M gets in. They're an 11 seed without a play-in game, and they finished 2 games behind Auburn in the conference standings, won 6 conference games this year. They were 6-10 in the SEC, won less game than Auburn. Mississippi State, the first team, I believe, in SEC women's basketball history to win 20 games, finish 500 in the league, and not get in the NCAA tournament. And A&M got in with a 6-10 record. Pretty crazy. So, but for this team, opportunity to go out and again, they said, look, just keep, as they say, keep climbing. This is an opportunity for them, one of the best players in women's basketball history at Auburn, a chance to go out and put a team on their back now and see if they can get a couple wins.
You know, the thing is that the women's process and the men's process are different. And just based on what I heard on television today, when they were talking to, I guess, the committee chairperson, that she talked a lot about the conference tournaments. Didn't hear much talk about conference tournaments on the men's show. So I think they put, I guess Texas A&M playing a good game against South Carolina, was it, in the tournament? But, you know, that's but it's different. And look, I don't believe there's any question. SEC jealousy is a very real thing. And sometimes it can be harder for SEC teams. Yeah, I saw somebody on our message board said it was Greg Burns' fault that Auburn was going to Spokane because he's on the basketball committee. Well, he did a bad job for his team too then. They're going the same place.
But, yeah, A&M women's team, they did. They beat Mississippi State in the tournament. and then played South Carolina pretty good. They were 1-5 in their last six games in the regular season at the end of the year. 1-5.
What did they do in the non-con?
Let me look and see.
That's where I wondered if they, because like the LSU win obviously held a lot of weight for Auburn because it was win over such a good team. I don't know if they had a win like that.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
They beat Kansas, who's a 8 or 9 seed. That's pretty much it.
Based on listening to them talk today, I just wonder if Auburn was not penalized for getting blown up by LSU in the tournament like they did.
Yeah, it very well could have been, even though they had to win. They said, went at home.
They had to beat LSU and Auburn and took them right to the wire in Baton Rouge.
It's obviously they I felt like they got short end of the stick. But like I said, no matter what, it just adds an extra game.
The difficulty hasn't been in a while, women's basketball. So
correct. Yeah, first time since 2019 in the NCAA tournament. Got a chance to go out and win a couple of games and play UConn and have that experience. Then that'd be another huge step in the right direction for this program for sure.
Yep, absolutely. I think there's pretty much been positive signs for Johnny Harris in each season at Auburn where you felt like building and building and building. And there was, more culmination of him this year than any other season. And Jason, you mentioned, honesty, Scott Grayson and kind of her greatness this season, what she's been able to do for this team. And I just think anytime you have a defensive minded team and then you have a player like that who can go out and get a bunch of buckets, I don't know if they can beat anybody, but they can beat a fair few teams.
Well, that's the thing, and she.
Well, they could beat LSU. They did. I mean,
that's the thing. You'll have to go win a home game to beat somebody like UConn.
That'd be shooting the moon for the moon there now.
It would be, but but they played LSU toe to toe down there. And honestly, I'm telling you, I saw a little bit of disappointment when the LSU region was picked and Auburn wasn't there. I think this team honestly thought they wanted to go back there and have another shot. To me, that was a pretty good sign that this team not going to back down from the challenge.
I think
for them now, just go strap it up, play. And again, if you get through the first one, they beat Arizona. I fully expect them to beat Syracuse. I think that's what this team is. And Nathan, you had it right. You have a player like that, and you can play defense and create turnovers. They can't have five or six point games. If they can get one of them 25 or 30 point games out of honestly Scott Grayson, they can play with anybody. Yeah.
I mean, they're liable to turn anybody over 20 plus times.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need to make shots, which is sometimes an adventure. I don't think there's any question the women's program is on the right track. I mean, it's a long way to catch up with the top of the SEC, South Carolina, well, mainly South Carolina and LSU. It's a long climb.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what kind of damage they're able to do in March Madness now. I know it's not something they have had they've had a ton of success in recently, they haven't made it back there in a while, but both the men's and women's team, having them in at the same time, there are not a ton of teams in the country, not a ton of programs and schools that can say that. And so now Auburn is in a position where you can be rooting for both, depending on when they play. And it's just a good time for basketball right now at Auburn.
Do we know when the women are going to play yet?
They play Friday. Yes, it's Friday. I think they play Friday because then they'll play Sunday again. I wrote it in my story.
The women.
Yes.
The women can play Friday. They got to play the first four games.
It's Thursday.
Yep. Oh, wow. You got to be on Thursday to turn around and play again on Friday?
No, they play Thursday. It'll be Thursday, Saturday, Monday because they'll be there Saturday, Sundays. That's what it is. So. Yep, so Thursday. I don't know what time it is, but I'm assuming it would be, they're probably that evening. So,
yeah, And then you've got Auburn on the Auburn at 3:15 Central Time on Friday, which I think is a pretty good TV spot as NCAA tournaments go. It's not the most inconvenient thing. You can take off work a little bit early at the end of the week. It's probably not too inconvenient. That'll be on TNT. They will take on Yale out there in Spokane.
One word, Jason. I was there when it was actually Joe Champy's last NCAA tournament, and they beat North Carolina State or somebody in the first game, and then had to play UConn and got beat like by 20-something. UConn wasn't, at that point, the overwhelming force they became, and though they were really good. But my main memory of that is Auburn was looking for a men's basketball coach, which ended up being Jeff Lebo. And Ed Richardson was there, and Charles Goldberg and I were there. And we kind of cornered Dr. Richardson and asked him about the men's basketball coach situation. And he started breathing off names and what he liked about this one and what he liked about that one. And the late Meredith Jenkins, God rest her soul, was media relations director, and she was totally pale because Dr. Richardson didn't have many filters. I remember that, and I remember Charles Goldberg screaming at the Birmingham News because they did something to the story he didn't like. That lasted the entire trip back from stores to New York City where we were staying.
All right, you guys, I don't know if y'all have anything else you want to add here toward the end. We're coming at about 49 minutes. But if you guys tuned in to the live stream, we hope everybody enjoyed it. If you guys listened to this on your podcasting service of choice, go leave us a 5-star review. If you guys enjoyed it, we are really looking forward to getting into March Madness now. It's the best time of the year for college basketball fans and, of course, Auburn. Now on the women's side as well, getting back into the big dance. Auburn has made it pretty enjoyable for their fans as well, and we will see what this team, both on the men's and the women's side, are able to do in March Madness. So thank you guys so much for listening to this edition of the podcast. For Jason Caldwell and Philip Marshall, I am Nathan King. Go check us out over at auburnundercover.com, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.